Hey, it's Myron Metcalf. I know you're used to hearing me join the show to explain what's happening in the world of college basketball or hosting every Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, or maybe even reading my words about everything Minneapolis and the Star Tribune. But you are going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories and audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Tom Van Herren, when Coach Deion Sanders first met with his new team on December 4th, 2022, after being hired by the University of Colorado, he said this.
So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're going to get, because the more you jump in, the more room you make.
When you heard Deion basically say, you ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here, what did you think of that?
Yeah, well, when he prefaced that statement by saying he's bringing his own luggage and it's Louis, I knew he was serious, right? You know, it was a strategy that he used at Jackson State to bring in his guys. And it's a new strategy that a lot of coaches are doing to turn over the roster. And at the time when I heard it, I kind of felt like it was a little bit of a scare tactic, a little bit of truth, and maybe a little bit of motivation for some of the guys that he did want to stick around but wants to play better. That being said, I did not expect to see what we have now currently in the transfer portal, and it's been pretty incredible. I mean, they've had 71 players enter the portal since last August. 61 have entered the transfer portal since Deion Sanders was hired. And I wrote something about this, Myron. I wanted to give people kind of a comparison, because those numbers seem high, but how does that relate to other coaches? And what does 61 really mean? And the first number I wanted people to be aware of was that coaches are limited to an 85 total scholarship limit every year. So when you have 61 players leaving, that's a lot. And then for new coaches, we saw USC, they hired Lincoln Riley. And when Lincoln Riley was brought in, the month that he was brought in to the time that the 2022 season started, USC had 29 players enter the transfer portal. LSU, I looked at them as well. Brian Kelly, when he was hired, the month that he was hired to the start of the 2022 season, LSU had 25 players transfer out. So you add both of those teams up, that's 54 transfers between those two schools, still fewer than what Deion Sanders has had at Colorado since he joined. It's been pretty incredible to watch and pretty remarkable to see what they're doing.
When we talk about the transfer portal, most people focus on football, Tom, but it's not just football. LSU women's basketball won a national title last year with Maryland transfer Angel Reese leading the way. And this offseason, they decided to get even better. Went after Haley Van Lith, the Louisville star, Associated Press All-American honorable mention, and the number two ranked player in the portal, DePaul's Anissa Morrow, who averaged 25.7 points per game. That's a top five mark in all of women's college basketball. What does that say about college sports in 2023?
I think it says a lot about the state of college sports in that the players have more leverage now than they ever had. 10, 15, 20 years ago, when someone wasn't happy with the position they were in, with the playing time they were getting, or whatever it might be, really the mantra was stick it out and suck it up and try harder. Now they have an option and they have other places that they can go. And so I think coaches are trying to adapt on the fly. I spoke to Brian Kelly recently, and he told me that LSU is going to start a whole arm that's going to basically help manage their NIL operations, because that is now tied to the transfer portal, and it's tied to recruiting. And players are now looking for opportunities to make money. And what is the best opportunity for them to get to the WNBA, the NBA, the NFL, whatever it might be? It's something that everybody is exploring on both sides, and it's something that everybody is really trying to balance as we go and trying to find their way through it.
The two words that seem to have taken over all levels of college sports are transfer portal. Every week, it seems, we see a new headline or a rumor about someone heading to a seemingly bigger and better situation at another school. But what is happening behind the scenes? How are these players managing this new freedom? And how in all of this roster chaos are these teams able to keep their programs together while not knowing who will be there next season. So today, ESPN transfer guru Tom Van Haren dives into the portal to guide us through all the details and tell us where all of this is headed. I'm Myron Metcalf. It's Tuesday, May 9th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tom Van Haren, college sports has changed a lot since the introduction of the transfer portal. You're the guy that everybody goes to when they want to know about transfers. First, explain to us, as if we don't know anything about the transfer portal, how it all works.
Yeah, Michael Scott, talk to me like I'm five. Explain it to me like I'm five, right? It's an online database. It was created basically to allow players to enter their name into this database and opposing coaches can communicate with them legally. They can have communication with them, engage their interest. If there's options at other places, they can go. Or just because they put their name in the transfer portal, it doesn't mean they have to transfer. They can decide to stay at the school that they're at. And so how that differs from the past, before the transfer portal was started, it was just, you know, a player would try to transfer. They'd notify the coach and the compliance department. And what we saw was a lot of coaches would say, okay, you can transfer, but we're going to block you from this school, and this school. It was a rival school or a school on the schedule for the next year, and they couldn't go. And so what we started to see was lawyers getting involved. And so that kind of got the ball rolling for this transfer portal. There was a rule change that now you don't have to sit out a year. You get a one-time transfer. And initially, players were just allowed to go in whenever they want. And so it was kind of chaos for a lot of coaches where they didn't really know when a player was going to go in. They didn't know who was going to go in. I talked to a couple personnel directors who said, imagine if you were an NFL coach and every single year, every player could be a free agent. They could be. You don't know if they're going to be a free agent. And then try to manage your roster that way. And that kind of put things in perspective for me. So then the NCAA and the Division I board basically created windows. There's two windows now where players can enter the transfer portal. There's one in December for 45 days. There's one in the spring for 15 days. And then the other rule that they created with these windows, if a player has a head coach fired during the season, there is an immediate 30-day window that the players will have to enter the transfer portal. So it kind of protects the players in that sense, if they lose their head coach and they can go elsewhere if they'd like to.
It's not like this is the first time we've ever had transfers. I mean, Larry Bird transferred from Indiana to Indiana State in the 70s, but clearly we're talking about this a lot differently. How have we gone from a few transfers to this transfer portal era that everyone's talking about?
A lot of it is leverage, and a lot of it is about the power that the players have now. And the athletes are the driver for the revenue. And they realized that and said, we should be getting something. We should be able to profit off of our own name, image, and likeness. We have kind of seen that taken off and into what I said before, too, with the one-time waiver to transfer without penalty. That really opened up a lot of things for a lot of players. And so I actually wrote this in the Deion Sanders piece or the Colorado piece that we had, that the numbers have just gone through the roof of who we've seen go in the portal and how many athletes we've seen. One of the numbers that we looked at just for FBS players, there was 1,695 FBS players that entered the portal in the 2019 to 2020 cycle, 1,695. 2021 to 2022, that number went up to 3,085. And the number keeps growing from there as well. And so we're continuously seeing more and more players jump in. Last year, the number of total football players, not just FBS, total football players we saw transfer was 8,242, which is incredible.
Okay, Tom, now that the game has changed so dramatically, how is everyone approaching all of these basically brand new rules?
There's not really any rules with the transfer portal, except for the one rule is you're not really supposed to tamper. You're not really supposed to contact players before they enter the portal. But the players, the student athletes, are very smart, and they know exactly what they're doing with these transfers, and they all talk to each other, and they know what opportunities are available. And so they know a lot of times where they're going to go before they enter the transfer portal, because it's too risky for them to try to go in without a plan. And so a lot of these players are using high school coaches, trainers. There's backdoor ways for college coaches to talk to them or have conversations. And that's really how they're going around it and trying to gauge interest. And it's on both sides. It's not just the players, but everybody's trying to gauge interest to see where there's an opportunity, whether it's for a player to come to a new school or if there's an opportunity for the player and a scholarship available as well.
Tom, on the one hand, you've got coaches saying transferring is ruining our sport. It's just crazy. It's free agency. On the other hand, you got a bunch of players who are announcing, I'm leaving. I don't know where I'm going. And we all know that's not true because these conversations are happening. If that's happening, isn't that tampering? And what's the consequence of that?
I mean, you can do whatever you want because the NCAA has done nothing about tampering. And I think that's the big frustration for a lot of coaches is that nothing is done. Everybody knows it's happening. And coaches will complain behind closed doors about the fact that tampering is happening. And when I talk to coaches, they say, I have to recruit my own team and make sure my own team is going to stay here. They all complain about it, but nobody is really willing to go public and name names. It's really kind of a vicious cycle for everybody. I've talked to personnel directors who have said, we don't want to break the rules. I don't want to go behind someone's back and talk about a kid or try to go and see if a kid's available. But if I don't do that, I'm going to miss out on that kid. So I've got to win. I've got to put the best roster forward. I have to go do it.
Tom, we love to tell the transfer portal stories about the biggest athletes. Jordan Addison going to USC, Hunter Dickinson to Kansas, Haley Van Lith going to LSU. But I get these DMs from basketball players who are like, hey, would you put my mixtape out there? I'm not really getting a lot of feedback from coaches, but I want to transfer. What's the danger for some of these athletes who are entering the transfer portal without those guarantees?
Yeah, it's a dangerous gamble. And I always say that too, of when we talk about the transfer portal, we often just think, whether we mean to or not, you know, the star player that has 50 teams come after him once he enters the portal and he's got a ton of options. But that guy who wasn't getting playing time and maybe he's a little undersized or he wasn't playing, he was third string, and he goes into the portal thinking, I'm better than what this coach is saying, I should be playing. That's not always the case. Sometimes they're a third string player and that's what they're going to be elsewhere. And I had one SEC personnel director tell me, if you just enter the portal with no plan, unless you were the man at your university, you're going to get lost easily. And if you're just another guy, even if you were a star player in high school and you're just going to jump in with no plan, there's a good chance that you're going to get stuck. And I think that's a reality. If you look at what's happened even recently in the 2021-2022 cycle for football, only 61% of the FBS players who entered the portal, they found a new team or they went back and stayed with their current school. Only 61%. So that means that 39% did not find a scholarship at an FBS school. So they either didn't find another spot or they had to drop down another level. And that's a problem. They preach student athlete, right? It's about academics and it's about students. Well, that's happening and you're seeing 39% of thousands of players entering the portal. A lot of those guys are losing out on an education. When it comes down to it, a lot of those guys that weren't playing or didn't have a spot, they were getting an education at a big time school and now maybe they're not. I don't know what the solution is, but I do think that's got to be something that gets figured out because you're leaving a lot of college kids out to dry without a proper education.
Tom, we're talking mostly about players who are in school now, transferring to other schools. I had a high major men's basketball coach tell me that he will no longer go after potential freshmen, high school seniors who need a year to develop. He said, I'm going to go and get the 22-year-old transfer who's ready to play right away. What does the transfer portal mean for high school players?
Yeah, so we touched on it a little bit earlier that every school has to, at least on the football side, you've got to stay to an 85 total scholarship limit. And basketball has scholarship limits. And everybody's got to stay within certain limits. So that counts for transfers too. And so if you're taking in 10 transfers, that's 10 scholarships that are being taken up that could have gone to high school players. And so when you have these transfer portal windows starting before the early signing period in December, a lot of coaches are looking to the transfer portal first, because if you've got premium positions that you need filled, you'd rather go and fill it with someone that can play immediately, that you've got film on, that you know can help you. And you don't have to wonder, is this kid going to acclimate? Is he going to be okay in college? Is he going to get it with a high school kid? You don't know sometimes. And so offering a transfer player that has experience, that you know what you're going to get, it's safer. And for a lot of these coaches, that's what they want, is they want the safe bet.
Coming up, how all the people roaming the sidelines are dealing with the new world order in college sports.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Tom, obviously coaches are trying to figure all of this out. I talked to a non-Power 5 coach who told me his pitch to recruits right now is, if you spend 2 or 3 years with me, I'll get you to a Power 5. That's how rapidly things are changing at the coaching level. How are coaches dealing with all of this in a world where it feels like they've never faced as much pressure as they are right now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different sides to that. Of course, you're exactly right that, you know, the new norm with transfers, I think the expectation is different, that it doesn't take, or it shouldn't take, 4 years or 3 years to turn around a roster now. So for new coaches, there's a lot of pressure that it has to happen right away. I think that has been a big part of it. I talked to a lower level coach. It was a coach in the MAC level who said, why would I go and recruit a high school kid, let's say an offensive tackle who, you know, 6'6", but he's a little undersized and he's got to add some weight, doesn't have Power 5 interest yet, but I think I could turn him into an all-conference player. Why would I invest 2 or 3 years into that kid knowing that once he turns into that all-conference player, he's going to go and turn around and transfer and go to a Power 5 school? I don't want to become a farm system for a Power 5 program. And so that was an argument that he made of, why don't I just go, and the kids that leave Power 5 programs, why don't I just go to try to recruit them and get transfers? So there's different sides of this. I think everyone has adjusted how they're thinking. They've got to manage their roster. They've got to manage the scholarship numbers. And I actually had a personnel director tell me, they have to start thinking like NFL teams because you're rebuilding every season and your culture is changing every year. And he said there's almost too much chaos to it, that you've got to be on point and you have to know everything about your roster or else it can all blow up.
it's interesting you say that because those personnel directors and scouting departments, they got to get players. That's the job. And there used to be, I remember, junior college hubs like Coffeyville in Kansas and some of the California JUCOs. Where are those folks spending their time now in the transfer portal era?
Well, they're spending most of their time at work, I can tell you that, and they're not happy. There is no work-life balance anymore. I think a lot of them are burnt out right now. And a big part of that is because of the transfer portal and NIL. The transfer portal part, you know, I've had personnel directors tell me that essentially they're evaluating every single opponent that they have, every single player on that team, just in case someone decides to go in the portal. So if you think about that, every team that they play on the football side, they've got 12 games, 85 players on each team. It's basically doubled the amount of prospects that they're evaluating because you've got high school kids, you've got transfers. You have to get information on those players to see if they're a good culture fit, if they could help you. And it's added a significant amount of work for them, and they've had to continue to adapt and evolve. And then on the NIL side, I think this is tied in as well. I had a personnel director tell me, Myron, and I don't know the conversations that you've had with coaches, but I had one tell me, I didn't get into this to become a marketing agent. I don't know how to set up marketing deals for people. I just want to go and evaluate and coach, and that's what I want to do.
I could just imagine how confused some athletic directors are right now trying to figure out who's on their roster that they're trying to promote their teams. What kind of pressure do the colleges themselves face, Tom, in this transfer portal era?
It was funny because I was talking to a coach about changing the calendar and how you could rework it and what it would look like. And I laughed because he said, you know, administrators are difficult enough to deal with when you're trying to get a player admitted into a school. And he said, I cannot imagine changing the calendar to a point where we'd have to try to get transfers admitted around the holidays because it just would not happen. The administrators would not work and it wouldn't do it. You know, it's funny because nobody really thinks of that side of it, that the coaches don't just get to wave a magic wand and these players, these transfers are allowed into the school, that you have to get them admitted. And so a lot of these schools are scrambling, trying to get paperwork filled out, trying to get information and grades and transcripts from the other schools, which you can imagine those other schools are not real thrilled to do that, and they're not going to work at a real fast pace to do it. And so you've got to do that while you're simultaneously trying to bring in the high school prospects who are coming in January. You've got to get them on board, on campus, in their dorms, settled in. The whole picture of trying to manage a college athletic team right now is just, it's chaos. That is the word that I hear the most, is chaos.
A couple of years ago, I remember some coaches, Tom, who said they hated NIL. And I talked to those same coaches today who are saying, hey, I love it if it works for everybody, right? What are some coaches doing to maybe prove or show that they're embracing everything that comes with it?
I think there have been a lot of coaches that are realizing the talent that is in the transfer portal. You know, in the past, before the portal, when a kid would transfer, a lot of times it wasn't because he was a good player. It was because he wasn't playing. Where now, you know, you could be Jordan Addison, win the Biletnikoff, and then the next year you're transferring out to USC for a new opportunity. And so if you're a coach or a personnel director or a scouting department or whatever, and you're not using the portal, chances are you're missing out on talent and you're missing out on players that could help you. And so UCLA and Chip Kelly, I think, is a big example that I always go to with how they're using the portal. And Chip Kelly is basically taking his experience from the NFL and using that now for the Bruins, where they have essentially utilized the transfer portal as their way to build the roster. They actually had 7 total high school recruits in the 2023 class, which was second fewest among all FBS schools. Uh-huh. And the only reason it was second fewest was because Herm Edwards got fired at Arizona State. So Arizona State led the way. But that's on purpose, though, for UCLA. A little over 37% of their starters are transfers. The other FBS teams hovering around 20%. And so they're utilizing the transfer portal thinking, you know, we've got talented players available to us. Why would we not go use it like free agency and try to get better that way? And so it's worked for them and they're getting better. And what I would say to that too is where they are now at a point where they've essentially found the blueprint for what works for them. I think they're a team to watch going forward because of that. Now, we have seen it backfire. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, they were one that initially utilized the portal heavily. And they won games early. They won 11 games in 2021. But now we've seen that they've had players transfer out and they weren't able to fill those spots. And Keon Coleman, their top wide receiver, Peyton Thorne, their starting quarterback, they transferred out. And so if you utilize the portal that way and build your roster through the portal and through transfers, you have to understand that that's going to make some players unhappy. And if you're willing to bring them in, you've got to be able to fill it once someone leaves as well. And if you can't fill those holes, you're going to have some trouble. And we've seen that at a few schools.
Tom, it feels like it's still early in this transfer portal era. Like, how might the transfer portal change and in what ways might it improve in the future?
This is the biggest question that I have for coaches is what would, if you could change something right now, what would you change? And because all of them have complaints. You know, they all say this is chaos and this is just a mess. But then you ask them, well, how do you fix it? And nobody has an answer. Because if you fix this one thing, it creates a problem over here. If you fix this thing, it creates a problem over here. And I think most of them are at the point now where they say that I've heard this phrase more than I ever have in my life. And I don't know that I ever want to hear it again. But they say we've let the toothpaste out of the tube. You can't get it back in. Right. But I think the transfer windows, some people don't like it. Some people do like it. The coaches and personnel directors that I talk to have said it has helped basically give them, I almost want to say, corralled chaos where they know when it's going to happen. So they like that. You know, I keep mentioning Brian Kelly. It's because I just spoke with him. But Brian Kelly at LSU, they had to manage trying to gear up for the SEC championship game, trying to figure out who's leaving their roster, trying to figure out who they could bring in with transfers, and then also trying to figure out who they're going to sign in the December signing period, all within 3 to 4 weeks. That's too much. There's no way that it could be sustainable that way.
Tom, it feels like there are only two paths. You can go with the transfer portal and sort of accept the turnover, or you can try to build from the ground up and aim for consistency. What's the best path right now to build a winner?
I don't want to sound cliche here, but you have to choose the best path for you, Myron. You have to choose. I think we've seen ways that it can work on both sides. I mean, Clemson and Dabo Swinney, they're not really taking a lot of transfers. Now, some people could criticize him and say, look at what's happened on the field the past few seasons. But, you know, he talks a lot about culture there and building a culture. It's really, really hard to build a consistent culture if you're building through the portal. And so he wants that to maintain that culture there, and that's a way to do it. We've seen other coaches have a lot of success, though. Lincoln Riley, he brought Caleb Williams and Mario Williams with him to USC. He brought Jordan Addison in. They just signed a really good receiver this year out of the transfer portal with the leading Pac-12 receiver that's probably going to help them again. I think you have to figure out as a coach what you need and what's going to work best for you. And I think there's, you know, the saying that moderation or balance is key. I think you have to have some balance. And ultimately, all these coaches are just trying to win games. That has to be the goal. And when they're making these decisions, that's what they're looking at. Can this guy help us win?
Tom Van Herren, thank you for your time, man.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Myron Metcalf. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.